We go and grab a quick bite.
We watch a movie, then fight.
We're the Fast Food Film Friends.
You're listening to Fast Food Film Friends, the podcast that's famous for hits such as Fat Bottom Boys, Another One Bites the Burger, We Will Eat You, and of course the chart-topping classic, A Crazy Little Thing Called Heart Disease.
This week, we'll be talking about Bohemian Rhapsody, the new movie about Queen's rise to fame, and we'll be eating the pinnacle of pork.
The barbecue behemoth.
The ever so elusive entree.
The gold standard of swine.
That's right, folks. This week we're eating the McRib. Oh my god.
It's about time, Kevin. This is what, episode, I think, 39? I'm taking this long?
We started this podcast in hopes that McDonald's would see it and release the McRib early.
Yeah, so that must have worked.
I think it did, because this is a little ahead of season for them, I'd say. Usually the swine doesn't come into seasons until closer to
Christmas. Usually the pigs don't ripen. They said, you know what, we're going to make some premium McRib.
Oof, I love that. It's kind of like a nice veal, but for pigs.
These did cost $13.99 each.
You know what, actually, I will say the price point on a McRib has gone up since I last purchased a McRib.
What was it?
I think it was $4.69 per.
Okay.
And then let me just say, our spoiler snack was not cheap either today, so I'm going to need, like, at least $7 from you.
I'm going to put that on your tab, and from IMDb, the plot summary of Bohemian Rhapsody reads as follows. A chronicle of the years leading up to Queen's legendary performance at the Live Aid 1985 concert.
You know, I wish I had read that before I saw the movie, because the culmination there, I didn't really know where it was going or how it was going to end. I think it could have gone a little farther, but I wish I would have known that ahead of time, because I was a little peeved.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to get into that in a little while.
And from McDonald's, the McRib is a tasty fan favorite, slathered in tangy barbecue sauce and topped with slivered onions and tart pickles, all on a hoagie-style bun. You've had a McRib, right?
Many years ago. Oh. One time in my life.
Only once?
Yes.
See, I usually will get it every time it's out.
Yeah.
I'm not like one
You're
of the people.
You're a fanboy.
No. That's exactly what I was just going to say. I'm not a fanboy at all. Not for me. Like, I don't like them that much. Every time I'm disappointed, I can tell you right. I could write a list of all the critiques we'll have today because I have the same critiques every time I eat a McRib.
Well, I'm going to tell you the same thing that I told you a few episodes ago when we ate cheeseburgers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that I want to put you in the mindset of a humanoid creature who has never consumed fast food before.
Okay.
And I don't want you to think back to your, you know, your preconceived notions of McRibs.
Sure.
I think that, you know, we need to give this one a fair shot.
I'm going
to
tell you right now the hoagie bun's going to be dry. It's one thing. Even if I was like Men in Black, memory erased, scanned with one of those things that they use, I would still remember that McRib buns are dry.
It would be deep in the recesses, in those little back folds.
The second I saw one in that overflowing with barbecue sauce box that they always come in, I would be like, oh, fuck that bread. It's going to be dry.
You'd have some PTMD.
Yeah. Is that post-traumatic McRib disorder?
I mean, you're the one that has it, so yes. Yeah. That is.
I just don't like to talk about it, sorry. I don't like to talk about it. McDonald's just doesn't... They shouldn't do hoagie buns. That's not their specialty.
You think stick to what you know?
Yeah. Which is sugar-filled white bread for the kids and diabetics of America. I do think I know who a McRib fanboy is, though. And Nathan, I know that you are not only a big fan of fast food, you're also a big fan of McDonald's.
Yes.
You're also correct. A big fan of Kanye West and his tweets.
Huge.
Huge fan.
I mean, unironically, I've been a huge Kanye fan since high school.
Yeah.
I mean, I love his music. I've always loved following him and his interviews and his live performances. And he's just like such this enigma, this thing that you can't nail down.
Sure can.
And obviously I disagree with, you know, some of his opinions as of late, but I think, you know, regardless, he will forever be an interesting character to witness.
Oh, absolutely. And I know that up until recently, you actually just told me this, you had an alarm on your phone set for every time he tweeted. You would be...
Notifications, yeah. I mean, I would see them on my phone, yes. But then it just became too much to handle.
So, however, you've turned that off recently.
Yes.
And today I'm sitting at home, you know, mentally preparing to record this episode tonight. I'm scrolling through my phone, and I see that, oh, look at this. Kanye's tweeted something. And it was such a revelation to me. I was just like, wow, what a day for him to tweet this when we're going to be recording an episode on the McRib.
And you, just to be clear, you brought this up to me when I came to your house, and I told you I did not know what you were talking about. And then you said, "Okay, I want to ask you on air."
Yes, I didn't want you to have a reaction to this already. I want your reaction on this show to be pure. So Kanye West today at 6:23 a.m., which is early, tweeted. It's only, let's see here, 5 words. The first being McDonald's, and the following four is. Let me just give you the whole tweet. McDonald's is my favorite restaurant. And it has blown up, just absolutely blown up. And it's so funny because you have to think of all the places he probably eats and like all the gourmet chefs who have probably cooked for him. And he's just such a lunatic. So I logged on to Twitter. This is what sparked it. I logged on when we got back here. And both Wendy's and Burger King have responded. Burger King retweeted it and said, "Eyes still closed, I guess," which I thought was great by their social media person. Wendy's just said, "I'm my favorite restaurant," which, oh, it's just a Kanye-ism. It was I bet he loves a McRib.
Well, what's funny, that actually reminds me, there's actually articles I've seen before about how Donald Trump loves McDonald's because he, quote, knows what's in it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to go to like mom and pop restaurants because who knows who's making his food.
Yeah.
But McDonald's, he trusts.
He can have a Secret Service drive through and grab a cheeseburger. He knows it's safe.
I would love to be at a stature in the world that I have to worry about being poisoned everywhere I go.
I do already. But that's just from a few bad McRib experiences.
Now, before we dig into those McRibs and Bohemian Rhapsody, let's do some Nimble News.
Nimble News.
Nimble News is the part of the show where we review all things new as quickly as we can do. New music, shows, purchases, experiences, or even new food or movies that we don't have time for in our main discussion. Nathan, are you ready?
I am.
And go.
I went to Costco for the first time a few days ago. I just did one quick lap around the store to see the sights and grab all the samples, and I finished my journey with a brat and a pizza slice in the food court. It kind of felt like I was a Martian going on a tour of the American experience. And in conclusion, I've decided to start a family as soon as possible so I can maximize those stellar bulk discounts.
I started watching Grand Designs on Netflix. I expected another somewhat bland house makeover or tour show with some annoying and flashy host, but that's not at all what it is. It's a show about the process of designing and building your own custom home and follows people through the ups and downs of their new home construction. Not only is it interesting to see what can and does go wrong, but the architectural aspects are fascinating and the host has a true passion for engineering and design. I found it relaxing, perfectly relaxing, and a great background show that I found myself getting sucked into pretty frequently. Plus, the homes are stunning, and who doesn't love British accents?
You should probably secure the rights to that novel that you just read.
I might. It was a long one, but I feel strongly about Grand Designs.
I checked out the new EP from Boy Genius, which is sort of an indie folk supergroup consisting of Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers, and Lucy Dacus. And I am in love with these 6 tracks. The songwriting is just superb, and their voices fit together so beautifully. Give it a listen, and I think you'll be glad that you did.
I watched the movie Spring Breakers for the first time. If you can get through the first 30 minutes, you might be able to get through the rest. It is an interesting take on a never-thought-about part of Spring Break, and the cinematography is a bit unique, but other than that, I think it falls kind of flat. James Franco does have an oddly convincing portrayal of a Florida-born cornrowed gangster, though.
I was introduced to a card game called On the Dot, which involves stacking transparent cards on top of one another to recreate patterns faster than your opponents. It was incredibly frustrating, and I have zero interest in spending time to get better at it. If you like stupid games, give it a whirl.
I watched the 1987 Coen Brothers movie Raising Arizona, in which a young Nick Cage shows off his finest pre-Con Air accent skills. Holly Hunter, who normally plays Miss Incredible, John Goodman, Frances McDormand rounds out a nice cast as actually a nice baby-loving lady without any anger. It was quirky and quick and unique in the way that only the Coen Brothers can pull it off, and had one of the best police chase scenes in history. And the cutest baby hoodie in the world. Great movie.
My fiance and I went to a wedding expo today at a Crown Plaza hotel, and my top 3 favorite vendors I encountered there were as follows: a chiropractor, a painter, and a woman who tried recruiting us to what was essentially a pyramid scheme for selling adult toys.
I watched a 33-minute award-winning documentary called Sriracha. It basically tells the story of where Sriracha comes from, who makes it, what exactly it is, and the history behind it. The man behind the sauce and his amazing backstory and his humble beginnings are all pretty interesting to watch, and the stats of what goes into it are all very interesting. If you eat sriracha, give it a watch. It's 33 minutes and it's pretty fascinating.
I watched a recent Netflix special called Nanette from comedian Hannah Gadsby, and it was one of the most powerful pieces of storytelling I've ever heard. I went back and forth between laughing hysterically and sobbing uncontrollably multiple times. I cannot recommend this special enough. If you find yourself with a spare 60 minutes this week, please watch Nanette. You will not regret it.
I was sick this week and binge-watched the entire first season of the Hulu original series Forever that stars Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph. It's written and directed by Alan Yang, the co-creator of Master of None, and it really kept surprising me episode after episode. It starts off a bit slow in terms of outright hilarity, but it builds to a beautiful, hilarious, and incredibly original show. Go watch at least the first two episodes now and give it time to surprise you.
I wore a romper as part of my Halloween costume this year, and that night I learned firsthand about the horrors of having to fully undress in order to pee. At one point, I kid you not, I walked into a bathroom, stood there for a good 20 seconds thinking about whether or not it was worth the effort, and ultimately just decided to hold it.
I tried Jimmy John's new full-length wheat bread today on a sandwich, and let me tell you, it is not as good as the original French white bread. It is somehow more caloric and just lackluster across the board. Stick to your French bread, Jimmy John's. That's it.
Well, that's all the time we have for Nimble News. Now let's jump into those McRibs and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Woo!
So I'm gonna clean the slate of my mind, and I'm gonna take a nice big chunk out of this. It's been nice knowing you.
Bun's dry.
The meat, I mean, it's very little flavor.
It is. I feel like they went light on the sauce.
I mean, I don't know, because it tastes like they did, but looking at it, they did not. It has plenty of sauce.
I think it's just the dry bread.
I think it's... The McRib is kind of baffling as somebody who enjoys a lot of McDonald's items because, I mean, McDonald's, like, I don't know what kind of, like, chemical engineering they have going on, but, like, when the smell of McDonald's cheeseburgers or fries hits your nose, instantly appetizing. You take one bite and, like, it's just filled with that signature flavor that just brings you right home.
Yeah, I agree.
There's really not too many redeeming qualities in this sandwich, in my opinion.
You know, you do catch a nice tart pickle. That's where the flavor is going to get you. That's the only flavor that comes through. The onions are flavorless. I don't know who their onion guy is, but they need to get a new onion.
They're really just there, you know, for that crunch.
Yeah, but it's barely there. The pickles, I feel like, are crunchier. I only got about two pickles. Would you classify this bread as dry?
I would say that the top of the upper bun is definitely hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not supple. It's not, you know.
I think there's too many. It's not sesame seeds. It's just like, it looks like sawdust.
Yeah, they definitely open up the wood shop.
I'm not sure what that is.
In the manager's office.
Yeah. Asbestos, maybe? Now, the McRib is one of these things that really you're only going to see a few times in your lifetime. Something so amazing like this.
Yeah.
Just like Freddie Mercury, I think. You know, he comes along. Both great things, one maybe greater than the other, slightly. They only come along, you know, every now and then. And they make a big impression.
Now, a movie like this one, about an icon like Freddie Mercury, what kind of impression did it make on you?
I think it's funny that you say that, because this movie was about Queen, and he made a very strong point in his life. He doesn't want to be a standout, you know, he's part of the band. So for you to say this movie is a movie about Freddie Mercury...
I think, in my opinion, that's up for debate because, and I definitely want to get in our spoiler segment, want to talk more about his role in the movie, but I think the fact that this is being marketed as a Queen movie more than a Freddie Mercury movie is kind of misleading.
I agree.
Because there's entire 20-minute portions of this film that are only about Freddie Mercury's personal life.
I mean, if you look, the cover art is literally just his face.
It's true. So I think it's true, yeah. But, I mean, okay, read the description. Read that. Plot right there.
A chronicle of the years leading up to Queen's legendary appearance at the Live Aid concert.
And see, I mean, that's true. It doesn't sound very appropriate to me.
Mm-mm.
I think that Queen really takes the back seat, which that in itself, I don't think is inherently a problem. Like the fact that it's focused on Freddie Mercury, I think, you know, he's much more interesting than the rest of the characters, and so that's fine. But this movie really goes back and forth between kind of two different feelings. The first of which being, I was actually kind of reminded a bit of Solo, A Star Wars Story, because there are portions of this film that are like chock full of Easter eggs and nods and winks to the audience about like, oh, you like Queen? Well, this is how this happened.
Yeah.
Or like, you know this song. Well, guess what? But she didn't know it was written like this. And those moments are like crammed together. There's a ton
mm-hmm.
of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be that for a while. And then it goes into very personal details about Freddie Mercury's wife, family, relationships, you know, him, you know, discovering himself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of trying to be both those things. I think the filmmakers know when people come to see this movie, they want to hear Queen songs.
Yes.
They want to see the band. They want to like hear the fun details about the story of, you know, them, their rise to fame. People want that.
Yes.
But the story that the writers wanted to tell was this like, you know, deeply detailed look at his personal life.
See, now, I like Queen. I wouldn't say, you know, I'm a huge Queen fan. I don't think I've ever owned an album or, you know, I know their hits. I know the hits. Like, even at the end of this, they're playing Live Aid. There were, like, two songs that they played there. I was like, I've never heard these songs before.
Same.
I didn't know those songs. Freddie Mercury, on the other hand, is, in my mind, I like him a lot. Obviously, he's one of the best singers to have ever lived. And like you said, they do sneak a lot of tidbits in about Queen and him, like the extra teeth he was born with that made his mouth bigger so he can have a bigger range. I thought that was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, just little explanations
for sure. Yeah, and things like that. But I went into this thinking like, man, I think I'd be a great Freddie Mercury for a Halloween costume. So I follow him, or I did.
Your buck teeth would, you'd be perfect.
I would. But I wanted all the Freddie Mercury stuff. I didn't care that much about Queen. I wanted all the just, if I wish it would have been more focused on just him and his life and not so much like the tours and like, you know, just band sessions, which were interesting and it was kind of cool to see how songs came together and things like that. But I don't know. I think overall this movie had some issues with like the rhythm. I feel like was kind of off to me. I never just fell into a rhythm. I was kind of like, oh, they're going a different direction or they're on another tour. And I granted that's what bands do, like they say in the movie, but I don't know. There was something, I just couldn't dive into this movie. And I think it maybe some of it was the writing. I don't think a lot of the characters were just shallow.
And I think like outside of what you're saying, you wanted that more of that personal Freddie Mercury story. And it keeps pulling you out of that.
Yeah.
To give you that, you know, that like fan satisfaction. What it really felt like is like, there were so many of the scenes with the band that basically felt like the band's Wikipedia article come to life.
Yes.
Like, okay,
yes.
This paragraph right That's here good. Is about this span of time, and here's the three things that happened in this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so within these 2 minutes, we need to fit all that stuff into one scene. Like, there's, like, things happening at the same time, like Freddie getting engaged, and then also 1 minute later finding out he's going on a world tour.
Yeah.
Or, like, I mean, obviously this is, like, an abbreviated way of storytelling. They have to kind of, like, fit things together like that. But it just, it felt like this mishmash. Like they were trying to tell too big of a story.
I agree. And maybe his story is too big of a story to tell. Like, who knows? I mean, this is a long movie. They fit a lot in. And it's not I don't think either of us thought it was a bad movie. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I thought it was a good, entertaining movie. But it left something to be desired. I feel like the band, other than Freddie, it's like the band. It's those three are basically, the other three members are never seen individually in a scene.
Yeah, they're a collective.
They're a collective. There's not much character development there. They don't follow their lives. Every other character in this movie is just so underdeveloped, I think. And I don't know if that's a statement on Freddie Mercury was larger than life. You know, he's such this personality that overshadowed everyone around him, because he does in this movie. And I think Rami Malek did a great job in this movie playing him. But I think it just, there wasn't much room for other characters, and I feel like that kind of led me to just not, I don't know. There's only so much, like, there's only so many times Freddie Mercury can sing a song, get in a fight with his band, have sex, and party. And it's like, it's just that over and over again for two hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's his story, I guess, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like they could have been a lot more creative with such a fascinating person.
Yeah, and that's what I keep going back to is like, I wouldn't say I didn't enjoy this movie, but it could have been so much more.
Mm-hmm.
What I actually was reminded of a few different times while I was watching this was, did you ever see Steve Jobs, the movie starring Michael Fassbender?
No.
It's directed by Danny Boyle. And that movie, it takes, you know, Steve Jobs' career.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it boils it down into three acts. Each of those acts is like the day leading up to a huge moment in Steve Jobs' career. So mm-hmm. like right before, you know, they launched, you know, the first
Apple II.
Yeah, like just like different products or whatever. And like it ignores all the other stuff that you're kind of going into the movie expecting to see, thinking, oh, I know about Steve Jobs' life. Yeah. I'm thinking about, I'm going to see this and this and this. But this movie, Steve Jobs, it doesn't care about those other moments that are like I said, kind of the Wikipedia article yeah. moments. It yeah. instead focuses on very specific parts of his life, and it gets very personal, and it gives the story room to see him interact with his loved ones and friends, and it doesn't spend half the movie satisfying
yeah.
fans of Apple who are like, oh, I want to see this and this and this.
Checking the boxes.
But Bohemian Rhapsody has to check all the boxes.
So I think I love Danny Boyle. I'm a huge Trainspotting fan. I love 28 Days Later, Slumdog Millionaire. I love a ton of movies that he's done. I think a comparison, because I imagine that version of Steve Jobs was so much better than the Ashton Kutcher one that came out around the same time.
I have not
time.
Seen that one. But
neither have I, but I'm just assuming. So in my head, I think of this Bohemian Rhapsody as like the Ashton Kutcher Steve Jobs movie, and I hope to God somebody soon will make the Danny Boyle Freddie Mercury movie. Like a more gritty, creative take on it. But yeah, I don't, you know, I wanted more from this movie. I wanted more.
I think that if you're going into this movie thinking, I like Queen songs and I'm, you know, I want to, you know, get some fun tidbits about their career and just have some fun, then you'll probably enjoy this movie. And I do think that Rami Malek was
fantastic. I do,
yeah. I mean, he
was Shining
incredible. Star. He was as magnetic as I think that Freddie Mercury probably was in yes. his heyday.
I do think some of his dialogue was a little, I feel like they had to fit in, like you said, almost citing from the Wikipedia page, like some of his most famous quotes, like, no looking back, I'm only looking forward. And it's like you're not going to say these to like your three bandmates. Like, you're yeah. not going to say this to your family on your birth. Like, there was a few lines in the beginning where I'm like, I get that he's a confident guy who knows what he wants to do, and he knows like he's meant to be a performer, but like, people don't talk like that. Like, people don't. He said that probably to like a reporter once, and later on in his life, and I feel like they had to squeeze some of those in. So I feel like some of the writing that he had to work with wasn't the best, but I do think he nailed Freddie Mercury. The walk, yeah. the talk, the AIDS. I think he really nailed that.
He really took that on.
Yeah,
completely.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
But yeah, I will agree that the writing, both in terms of dialogue and just like the balance of the story in every facet, the mm-hmm. writing pretty weak.
Yeah.
I would say.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, the character development, pretty weak. It's, I don't know. I liked, it was a good movie. It was a powerful movie. I cried in this movie. Now, and that's saying a lot. I don't think most people are going to cry in this movie. I cried. I thought it was a very powerful movie. I think I cried when, when he tells his band that he has AIDS, I cried.
Well, I mean, and it's, these are moments that you know are coming.
Yes.
And it still hits you pretty hard. Yeah.
And then I think the Live Aid performance at the end, I was like, on the verge of tears for most of it, just because you can tell, like, I think he did a great job of portraying somebody who knows it's kind of his last big stand, like that's his moment. And mm-hmm. I think he did a really good job. It was just a powerful scene. But so, I mean, it's not like it doesn't connect. It's not like it doesn't develop the characters at all. It's just very focused where it does that, and almost overly efficient in how it does that.
Yeah. And I think that it does have a few of those good moments, but like what it kind of brings me back to is I'm like, okay, imagine for a moment that there was no such thing as a real Freddie Mercury or a real Queen.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, does this story, would this story have anywhere near the same effect?
No. That's a very good point, actually. That's a very good way to look at it. Because if this is just a standalone movie, like a fictional movie,
mm-hmm.
you'd be like, that's not
you're
a
like,
good movie.
Okay.
That's not a good movie, yeah.
I mean, it has to hit all those real life events, but mm-hmm. like, as a film, that story doesn't work that well. And the ending, I think, it just kind of leaves you with questions.
Several questions.
I think, once again, this is the kind of movie where I kind of just want to watch a documentary.
Yes.
About Freddie Mercury than I want to watch this movie.
Very much so. Coming out of this, yes. Going into this movie, I thought, this is going to be great. I don't want to watch a documentary. Coming out, I have a lot of questions about his life. There's a lot more I want to know. And I would definitely love to see a good documentary on him. You know, I think we've covered a good amount. We've had our McRibs. I think we should jump into our spoiler snacks, probably.
Now, before we do that, what's your verdict on the McRib?
It's a rarity. You know, it's one of those things. If this was an everyday menu item at McDonald's, it would not be a popular item, I don't
know. No, completely manufactured hype.
Yes.
It's the classic example of something that is, I think, completely void of value.
Yes.
And simply because the fact that it's not always available,
yep.
it's suddenly...
I gotta get it.
That's its only quality
yeah.
that brings you back.
And, I mean, there's not a lot of pork sandwiches on the market. Granted, I don't know if this weird faux rib stuff is actually pork, but...
we might have to put an asterisk yeah, next to that.
Yeah, we probably should. That's why they don't call it the McPork. I guess it's not really a rib either, though, so... but I, you know, if you haven't gotten one, try it. See for yourself. It's one of those things. You know what? I'm going to tell you to go get it. It's not going to be that good. The bread's going to be dry. But it's a unique flavor. It's a very unique shape of meat. So I'd recommend if you haven't experienced it, give it a shot. What do you think?
I would say definitely don't do that. I really hate the McRib.
Wow.
And, I tried really hard to give it a good, you know, a good chance, but no, I'm going to say don't go for that sandwich. Now, Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, what's your final recommendation for this movie?
I'm going to say go see this movie. I think it is a good one to see in a theater, similar to like a stadium rock band. I would say go see them live. I think it's going to probably meet your expectations, and that's it. I don't think it's going to exceed anybody's. I don't think it's going to be up for any Oscars or awards. Maybe Rami Malek actually is best actor, I can see. But I would say go check it out. I mean, it's all right.
I would say if you're looking for a movie that tells a very personal story about the highs and lows of fame and has excellent performances and is filled with great music, then I have good news because A Star is Born is still in theaters.
Yes. Yes, Nathan. Oh, I've been pushing that so hard to everyone I know still.
Me too.
Oh, what a great movie. Yeah, go. You know what? Go see A Star is Born if you haven't seen it. Skip this movie and go see A Star is Born.
I mean, yes, I would agree completely. I will say if you are interested in seeing Bohemian Rhapsody, definitely the kind of film I'd recommend seeing in theaters because, you know, that full sound experience.
Yeah.
There's definitely some cool moments that will, you know, probably get the hairs in the back of your neck standing up.
Yeah, definitely.
But other than that, I mean, I thought the movie was fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought, like I said earlier, I don't have major complaints, but I feel like it could have been done way better. And like you said, maybe the story will be done better.
I think it will.
I think that there's a good chance of that happening. And before I move into our spoiler segment, we should probably hear a word from our sponsors.
We should. This week's show is brought to you by Meat Molds. Need to get your blended or pureed raw meat, organ, additives, and bone mixture into some type of shape that looks somewhat edible? Use Meat Molds. Meat Molds can make your pink slime into any shape you desire. Circles, squares, something loosely resembling a ribcage, you name it. We take your slime and make it fine. Meat Molds.
And we're back, and it's time for our spoiler snack segment. So we're going to talk full spoilers about Bohemian Rhapsody. And Kevin and I are also going to eat a snack. And Kevin has surprised me with a snack today. And what is that, Kevin?
This is McDonald's, or McCafe's, more specifically, strawberry banana smoothie. Made with the perfect combination of fruit purees and juices, such as strawberry and banana. Just examples. Blended with creamy low-fat yogurt and ice. Available in small, medium, or large.
Now, which size did you get us?
I got us a small, and we're splitting it, because the McRib really put a dent in my available funds. I've never had a smoothie from McDonald's, though, I don't think.
I may have years ago, but I'm excited to wash out that barbecue sauce flavor.
Yeah, the McRib does leave a strange taste in your mouth. No, that's actually not too bad.
It's light.
It is lighter than I would think. It kind of has too much of like a powdery taste. I don't know. Do you get a little powdery taste? Like, it feels like there's too much protein powder in it or something.
I would say it tastes like there's too many fruits, such as strawberries and bananas.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not bad. I mean, you can't really mash up a smoothie.
I think it's a little bland, maybe. I mean, it's like you said, it's a pretty standard
smoothie.
There's nothing special. Nothing to write home about. Sometimes you and I eat spoiler snacks, and I will go home, write a letter to my parents.
Yes.
And tell them, you know what, I need to tell you about these cookies.
Like you did with the eyeball gumballs.
Yes, actually, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it might have gotten lost in the mail. They hadn't told me they'd read that one yet.
Yeah. But this one you will not.
But this
not
is
be
something
writing.
I will not be doing that
okay.
for.
You'll not be writing a letter home. Interesting. You know, I've always wondered where that expression came from, and I'm really glad you cleared that up for me tonight. Yeah, I think it's, oddly enough, very similar to this movie. I'm not going to tell people to go see Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm not. And if people ask me, oh, have you seen it? I'll say, yeah. And they'll say, oh, what do you think, Kev? And I'll say, eh. And then they'll say, ha, Kev. And then we'll go about our life.
I'll say, you know, it contained things such as strawberries.
It had things such as Freddie Mercury and Queen and acting in it. That's about it.
And more.
And more.
And a weird amount of protein powder.
Also, a very strange amount of protein powder. That's what they were snorting off the table, right? It was protein powder, I think, in the movie.
I was waiting for you to bring up the fact that this is a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
About Freddie Mercury.
I know, that's...
And you often have complaints about the content of PG-13 movies and how...
I do.
It's, you know, it's not real enough. I feel like if there's any rock star who deserves an R-rated biopic...
Yes.
It's Freddie Mercury.
That's what I don't get, is like... Basically, it made him out to seem like kind of a heavy drinker. And like, they showed white powder on a table once... And it's like, he had a pretty drug-fueled, like, decade that tore his life apart. And it's like, man, he's having too many glasses of champagne in this one. That's why I want, like, a real raw one, you know? Instead of just leather-clad men, let's see some penetration, you know? Why not? You know, it's funny, though, because I didn't even notice that. Like, I wouldn't have called out the no-swearing thing. And there really wasn't that much swearing in this. It's funny. That's funny how I noticed that in other movies. I think there was enough going on in this to distract me. I was into the music. Do you think that's really how he met his, like, the guy he spent the rest of his life with?
I mean, I questioned the way that all the characters met. Because I feel like so many of these little moments explaining backstories were probably totally fabricated.
You think?
Or maybe just, like, heavily edited to, like, fit together into a story better. Because, like I said earlier, he literally gets engaged and 1 minute later finds out the biggest news of his career.
Yeah.
Like, there was another moment where it was, like, two really big things happened within, like, a 3-minute span. And I was like, okay, I get that this is how you have to make movies, you have to be able to, like, fit things together better.
Yeah.
But it felt very inorganic.
It did. I think that's another thing that takes away from it, is that you can tell you're watching a movie.
Here's another kind of overarching issue that I have with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm really trying to judge it on its own merits, apart from the fact that it's about a real person and a real band.
Yeah.
As a story, as characters in a film, I think that Freddie Mercury is not a very well-written character. He has very few redeeming qualities, and the only thing that really gives him redemption in the end is the fact that he finds out he's going to die.
Yeah.
And then his, you know, that the guy who he's with, who's kind of being a terrible influence,
yep.
is... a dick to him, and then Freddie wants him out of his life, and so then he comes to his senses. But it's like, okay, imagine the alternate story where Freddie doesn't get AIDS.
Yeah.
Would he just continue down this spiral of being an asshole?
Probably.
I get that this is a real person who went through real events, and so they're reflecting that. So it's fine. Maybe that really was what he was like as a person. That's fine. But just seeing that story play out, I felt like, should I really be rooting for this guy at this point? Like, he did a lot of shitty things.
Well, and it's like, he's kind of the classic, you know, I feel like you could swap out any band for this movie. Any band, any front man, it's the same story. Like, oh, quick rise to fame. You know, he knew he was destined for stardom. Quick rise to fame. Drugs, fame, alcohol, like, family falls apart, band falls apart. He... hits a rough patch, changes one thing and like gets straight again. But you're right, it's like the whole time he's just kind of steamrolling over people. But maybe Freddie was like that, you know?
And it's very possible. And that's, I think that the one thing that kind of sets us apart is like his, and the film really does focus on it a lot, which I think it should, is his struggle with his sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's like, it's something that he's dealing with it, and he's, throughout the whole process, he's just being an asshole to his ex-fiance.
Yep.
And, like, he doesn't really grow in that situation until he finds out that he has AIDS. And, like, up to that point, he keeps, like,
being
a dick to her boyfriend and, like, wanting her to be right there for him. There doesn't seem to be much growth there, which is why I'm saying that it's, like, I feel like it's just not a very well-developed character.
Well, I don't think there ever was, though. Because, like, even at the end, he still kind of insults her boyfriend, you know? Like, even... And he, like...
It's true.
Yeah, you know? I don't think he's ever over that. I think, for him, she was, like, the first one to really be like, you're going to be a star. Nobody else in his life, I feel like, had ever believed in him at that point. And, like, they fell, you know, in love quickly. she was kind of his, I don't know, everything really, like the world to him, and just fully supported him. And that's probably a huge chunk of why he was so dependent on her and like needed her to move in next door, and needed her to pick up the phone and flash her light twice, just to like have that connection. I feel like it's kind of, what does he say in the, you know, he does things to fill like the gaps, between the moments when he's on stage basically, or when he's riding high, like, he's just it seems like a very dependent, whether it's drugs or alcohol or her or, you know, the guy who he kind of has run his life into the ground. I can't remember his name. Paul, maybe? Yeah. He's very, he needs someone to kind of corral him a bit, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe he was just like that in real life, but.
But what it feels like is that, like, we're seeing the first, like, two thirds of the story of, like, him struggling with that, but we don't really see him get over it. I think that his, like, quote-unquote redemption is kind of given a short shrift. And it's very much like he has one conversation with his band where he's like, hey, guys, I realize I was an asshole.
Yeah.
And they, like, it's, like, comical how they just, like, don't care and they just forgive him. Like, whatever, let's just play a show.
Yeah.
And then the show happens, and then they, you know, they have, like, the credits, like, where it tells you what happened to everybody.
That
and
was
I'm like,
the only, that was, like, the only follow-up.
But, like, you said it earlier, like, I really wish we could have seen some stuff after that concert.
Yes.
Yeah. If that is not, if the movie was about Queen. This is a Queen movie.
Yeah.
I could see how that concert would be a fitting ending. But this is a Freddie Mercury movie.
Yep.
And that is a big part of his story, but that's not the final scene. There should still be 15 minutes of movie
at least,
in my opinion.
At least. Well, I want to know, you know, does Queen stop touring? You know, how do they come to that fork in the road? You know, what finally breaks them down? You know, like when he spends his life with basically a stranger as his like partner for the rest of his life. And it's like, that's one picture we get instead of like, oh, how does that, like he literally picks him up from his house and that's like the last time they've seen each other is a long time ago. And then they spend the rest of their life together. There's no info on that. There's no info on, does he kind of rebuild the relationship with Mary and like become a better person to her, a better friend to her? Like what happens? What happens to him? Like how quickly does his decline, you know, health-wise? Like so many questions. And that's like a pretty important part of his life. Like, yes, Live Aid, him standing with his arm up is what Freddie Mercury, that's what people think of when you think of Freddie Mercury. But it's like, we know that.
I think we know that. Yeah, the movie at times tries to dive deeper and say, okay, what, like, beyond what we know about Freddie Mercury, what do we not know?
Mm-hmm.
At certain points, it tries to answer that question, but in the end, it doesn't care about that question.
Yeah. And that's, I think, what kills it for me a little bit. But, I mean, they did enough right where it's a watchable, entertaining movie.
Yeah, I mean, do you have any other specifics you wanted to touch on?
Let me check the postcard that I took my notes on because I forgot my notebook again. You know what my favorite part of this movie was? When they're recording the studio album, they're like in the countryside on a farm, and there's a beautiful shot. Well, I think honestly one of the most beautiful shots of like a rooster on a wall.
Yeah.
And you're expecting this rooster to start cock-a-doodle-dooing. I don't know if there's a better verb for that.
That's the verb.
And the chicken opens his mouth, and it's them recording the operatic section of Bohemian Rhapsody. And it was just like, I think the theater laughed harder at that moment than any other moment throughout the film.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
And it was just a great moment. And like they could have done so many more creative things. I don't know. Just it seems like a very cookie-cutter Freddie Mercury. I'm going to blame the PG-13 rating, too, now that I know that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. There was like a few little bits of quirkiness here and there that were fun, and that I wish there was more of, for sure.
Yeah, like him and his cats, pretty funny.
Yeah, like when he's talking about his house and all their rooms and stuff.
A room for every one of his cats. I don't know, man. Just, you know, I feel like there's a lot of hype about this movie because people like Freddie Mercury. Everyone likes Freddie Mercury. Maybe not everyone, I shouldn't say that. But most people like him, are interested in him, think... Obviously, he's one of the best singers of our time. So there's a lot of buildup to this, and people want to know more. They want to know more, and I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed.
And this movie, from what I've seen, is doing very well at the box office.
Well, yeah, it's going to do great at the box office because people want to know more about it. But I feel like most people are going to leave, like you and me, being like, that was pretty fun. Let's go see if there's a Freddie Mercury documentary now because I need to know actual things about him.
Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up, Kevin?
I hope that during our lifetime, somebody does a better story or a better movie on Freddie Mercury's life. I think an R rating and a better director who's a little more stylistic could help.
I hope that during our lifetime, a different fast food restaurant makes a better pork sandwich.
Oh, man. Grid. Wow. Meat Molds is going to be off the charts if they got two restaurants cranking those things out.
You can find all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm, Spotify, Stitcher, or pretty much wherever else you find your podcasts.
We are everywhere. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at Fast Food Film Friends, Twitter at FFFF Podcast, and Facebook Fast Food Film Friends, or email us at fastfoodfilmfriends@gmail.com to let us know what you think of the McRib or Kanye's tweet or Freddie Mercury or the song We Will Rock You.
Give us a, out of 5 stars, what's your rating of that song? Let us know. We'll feature the best answers on the next episode.
That's right. We will. So, Mom, get to it.
Until then, farewell.